Hello, this is Darren.
And this is Paige.
And this is
Where's the Lemonade?
Where we talk about what happens when life throws you lemons.
Make some lemonade?
Maybe. Some weeks it's lemon squares.
Yeah, some weeks it's just lemons.
Yeah. On today's episode.
Are you supportive?
I am.
You are.
All right, so we picked a topic on relationships today.
We did. And when I say we did,
it means you did.
It means I did. Because you're a little busy. And that's actually what prompted. So about an hour ago, you were like, what are we going to podcast on today, honey? And I was like,
about 2 hours ago now.
Yeah, I was like, that's a good question. And so I was sitting outside because it's beautiful outside and trying to figure out what we were going to podcast on. And then I started thinking about you and your PhD and how you're almost done. You just turned in your dissertation.
Dissertation's turned in. It's in for review.
So I just started thinking about that. And then I started thinking about how you completed that in 3 years.
Yeah, right? just 3 years.
3 years. And I just started thinking back on the last 3 years and how supportive I've been.
I've been thinking back on the last 3 years and waking up at 3 a.m. to work on papers I could be around the family periodically.
But haven't I been supportive of you getting up at 3 a.m. as long as you don't wake me up?
Yeah. I like this topic because there's different ways of, we talked about this before. Sometimes when your spouse is doing things, you can get a little jealous of the things that they're doing.
Yes.
Because maybe their career is moving forward or their education is moving forward and you're not. And that could be tough.
So the missionaries were just over at our house a couple of hours ago. One of them was saying goodbye because they're leaving. And I was telling them, I said, I don't know if you guys know Darren's doing his PhD. And they were like, oh, no, we didn't know that. And they were like, and I said, yeah, he double timed it. This is supposed to take like 7 years and you did it in three and a half, I think.
Well, I don't think seven, but.
Well, I think that's the typical time it takes someone. I looked it up.
Oh, you looked it up?
Yep.
Okay.
It's great. And people aren't usually working full-time while they're doing their PhD. So not only did you double time it, you are working full-time. You have two podcasts, this one, and you have a work podcast.
Yep.
You do many things in our church. Anyway, so I was telling the elders and they were like, wow. And I said, any one of those things would put me in the grave. You're doing all of them. So when you talk about, being jealous or whatever, I am not. I am just supportive because I am not jealous or envious. I'm proud.
Were you worried at all when I started my PhD?
Yes.
What was your biggest worry about?
My worry, I mean, I was the one that pushed you to do this.
Yeah, she did.
I was the one that pushed you to do this. I know you've always wanted to do it. We didn't think, you had the time or the money and, right, we just made it happen. And when you first started and you started with two classes, right, instead of one, because you were trying to double time it, we were not seeing you. Like, it was like, oh, wow. Like,
I kind of warned you ahead of time.
You did, but I didn't really, because you're just so good at multitasking and getting things done. I just didn't think it all the way through. And we joked when you started this, we actually joked about how I couldn't ask you to do any home improvement projects for the next 3 years. And I was like, oh, really?
But
like,
you did. I still did some things.
You did, because there were times where you had off of a class, like you had no classes.
Yeah, I had that.
You had a couple different breaks.
Yeah, I had that about 6 times. I would get 1 week off with no classes.
And then there were times where you had like a week off and then you only had one class for like a month. So then I'd be like, hey, since you only have one full-time job.
That's called being supportive.
Since you only have one full-time job and one PhD class and still all your podcasts and everything you do at church, since you have all this free time.
Why don't you replace the toilet?
Could you work on the bathroom and just replace the whole bathroom? And,
that's what happened. During my PhD, I replaced three bathrooms. Two.
Was that during the PhD?
Yeah. Two bathrooms.
Yeah, two bathrooms. Yes. We didn't mean to replace the one bathroom completely. We were just going to replace the toilet.
Okay, so this is not going very well as far as what it means to be supportive. I'm just saying.
I think it's going real, real well. But no, actually, I want to talk about that because I've never really asked you because I don't want to know. I told you this was going to be a funny episode. Oh, yeah. I haven't really asked you about how supportive you think I've been. And don't answer that yet. We will get to that.
Okay, we'll get... All right, you have to tell me what supportive means then.
Yes, so let's talk about first. So I found several articles on being supportive and why it's important to be supportive in a relationship. So let's talk about that. There are several reasons why it's important to be supportive with your partner. So...
All right, the first one, it says, to create a stable relationship, a supportive relationship aims to meet the needs of each partner when they arise. Couples benefit from consistency, knowing that their partner will be there through good and through bad. Now,
okay, what do you think about that?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Because we've seen that when you, with your business, sometimes it's been crazy busy. Mm-hmm. And for me to be supportive, I would cook. And I didn't do laundry very well, but I tried.
No, you're not allowed to do the laundry.
No, I'm not. There's a whole story behind that. But so there are times when someone needs help because maybe they're sick or ill or they're swamped at work. There's all those sorts of things. And we both stepped up when each one of us has had issues, either being too busy or being sick or whatever. So I see this as a good one.
Yeah. So I love how it says that couples benefit from the consistency of knowing their partner will be there for them. I like that. I really like that.
There's so much comfort in knowing that someone is there for you.
Right.
That if things go south, you got my back. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. The second one of why it's important to be supportive is to boost self-esteem.
How is that? That seems almost counterintuitive.
It says supporting your partner can improve their self-esteem and make them feel valuable and important. Do you not agree with that?
No, I do. Yes, I do agree. But sometimes supportive means you're there to help me. If I fall, you're there to support me. And for a man, that's like, oh, am I weak? I need support. I'm weak. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's not even for men. It could be for men or women that can feel that way, right?
Women feel that way too?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah. Like maybe,
you know. I can't relate because I'm not a woman. Yeah. So.
But yeah. So yeah, I can see how, you know, maybe, you know, the whole thing like being valued and feeling heard in your relationship, right? And so I don't know. And I think that if you feel valued in your relationship,
then that helps my self-esteem.
Absolutely. So
I don't have to stand alone. I can have you standing next to me, cheering me on and supporting me. And that helps.
And that builds you up.
Yeah. Because you love me enough to stand with me in good times and in bad. I like that.
So yeah, I like that one too. All right. And then the third one is of why it's important is to improve mental health.
Oh, we have to talk about mental health. I'm tired of talking about mental health.
But it is important. It is important. My mental health is very
important. Yes, it is. Okay.
So forget about other people's mental health. Let's just focus on mine.
I'm a big proponent of, I know there is mental health. I'm a big proponent of living in a healthy way.
Getting help. Yes, you are. You're huge about that.
It's just...
It's everywhere. Yeah, it's everywhere. Just
everywhere. Everyone's mentally ill now. I'm like, oh.
Well, it's not even that everybody's mentally ill. It's that everybody, it's just like, it's hard to get people to do anything, whether it's at work or church or in school, you know, in a PTA board, because everyone's like, well, I have to, you know, I have to self-care, which is fine. I understand people do.
You know, my mom used to say, just suck it up and get it done.
That is how we grew up, yes. That is how we grew up.
Maybe that's why we're all mentally ill.
Maybe.
I don't know. But that's not true.
That's not true. But if everybody is like, I can't do anything because I'm self-care, then who's going to do something? So there's got to be this balance. So yes, take a look at what you need to do and when you need to say no. But we also have to help each other, right?
Yeah, we do.
We have to step up.
How does it improve our mental health by being supportive? What's it say?
It says going through hard times. I'm trying to see. Going through hard times. What is that? Alone can take. The camera's in front of the computer, so I can't see. Okay, what does it say? You read it.
Going through hard times alone can make a toll, can take a toll on a person's mental wellness.
I agree with that for sure.
100% agree.
For sure.
A supportive partner can help their loved one process difficult emotions, helps build trust, and also positive impacts on mental health. I get it.
I totally agree with all of that. And I don't want people to think that you are like, oh, mental health. You're not. It's just...
No, because I've been through a mental health crisis myself. And I did not get the support that I needed.
Right.
That I, you know, in hindsight, if I would have gotten that, then maybe I would have gotten through that much faster.
Right.
I don't know.
And you always support me in my, I mean, you know, I struggle with depression. I'm on medication. I'm not ashamed or embarrassed of that.
But it doesn't stop you from getting things done. You don't use it as an excuse.
No, I don't use it as an excuse. But you know, there have certainly been weeks and days and times
even a couple
where,
months
where I have needed your support completely. Okay, so now let's talk about how to be a supportive partner. All right, so we talked about why it's important. So now we're going to talk about how to be supportive. Okay?
Okay.
So the first one is practice active listening.
I know you hate this term.
Oh, Darren, can you please practice your active listening on me? Please. I'm begging you. Practice.
You know, you hate the word, but you use it all the time.
No, we all use it. I don't like feeling... I feel like it's almost... What's the word I'm looking for? Making me feel like a child. You know what I mean? If we use the words that the therapists say to use, like, so Paige, what I hear you're saying...
Drives you crazy.
That drives me crazy. But I also want to know that you are hearing what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I just don't want you to say it that way.
No. So I have to adjust my active learning or listening. I do it at work in a different way than I do it at home. I do.
Okay. What's the difference?
At work, I can use the phrases. Let me restate what I think you said.
Okay.
If I say that to you, that's a no starter.
That is, yeah. Nope. That's no good.
That's no good.
That's no good. So. Well, okay. So it says in this, and this is something you have a hard time with.
Wait just a second.
I'm letting the world know right now that you have a hard time with this.
I got to answer this email real quick.
If you're watching us on YouTube, you will see that Darren has his phone firmly in hand where he likes it most of the time. So it says, put down your phone.
All right. It's down. So.
But I saw this thing the other day, which I shared with you and I really loved. Even if you, okay, say your spouse or child comes up to you and you're on your phone and they start talking. And so you're looking at them, but you're still holding your phone like hurry up, finish it up because then I'm going to get right back to my phone. That is not an active listener.
No, that's an impatient listener.
Yep. That's a hurry up so I can get back. So you're supposed to put your phone down so no one can see it.
Okay, how is that supportive?
That is very support. That is saying, I'm listening to you and I care what you're saying.
Okay. All right. I get it.
Right?
I get it.
So it says, put your phone down.
Put your phone down.
Maintain,
I'll work on that.
Maintain eye contact.
Oh, gosh. Don't start with that.
Does that bother you?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that later. It says, express interest in what they tell you.
You're good at this, even if you have no interest at all in it.
I'm very good at this. I'm a good active listener, especially with the kids. Yep.
But with me, it's about 2 minutes and then it's like glazed over. I know you have no idea what I'm talking about. If I'm talking about work stuff and highly technical stuff.
I try real hard.
I know you try real hard. But...
And see, it says little things like nodding and understanding. I do that. I nod.
You do.
Yeah. I nod.
Maybe the kids are, I know you're not listening. I know you're like going, I wonder what's for dinner tonight. Was that a squirrel in the tree?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I try real hard, but yeah, little ADHD got going there. It says a comforting gesture, So like I can tap your shoulder and be like, yeah, that's good.
Okay. All right. That's supportive.
Thanks. But yeah, it says that those things can make your partner feel like they're being respected and validated.
All right. I get it.
And I agree. When you or anyone that I'm talking to doesn't put their phone down, like, you know me, I just stop talking.
Yes. It drives me crazy. Because I can do two things at once.
No, not fully. Not fully.
I absolutely can.
Not fully. Mm-mm. Nope.
We'll agree to disagree on that one.
But you're going to...
But I will work on putting my phone down when I'm around you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. A no phone zone around page.
Okay, that'd be great. That'd be great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Any of her friends that listen, put your phone away.
Actually, my friend, I don't think I have a single friend that does that.
Oh, I bet you do.
I don't. I don't. I don't have a single friend.
You all know who you are. Stop it.
If you're doing it, let me know, because I don't know that you're doing it. No, I have... My friends are really good at that.
All right, the next one's kind of the opposite. It's... Know when to give your spouse space.
Yep. So this is interesting, because you really have to know your partner, right? You have to know them.
Yep.
You rarely need space or want space.
Rarely.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
And I know that about you.
You need your space.
Sometimes need my space.
Yep.
And you know that about me.
Yep.
So it's that you can't just say, so I like that it says know when to give your partner space, right? So if you don't know, ask them some questions. Don't, you know, try and guess.
Come on. We know. Most men know with their spouse when, oh, she does not want me around right now.
Right. Totally. And I think most women know that too. But I'm saying, if you don't know, if you're wondering, is this a time where she wants space, she doesn't, just ask. We don't expect you to be mind readers. Just ask.
Yeah, you do.
Well, we do. But that's beside the point. It's okay to ask and say, I need, you know, let me know. You want me to go to the next room or you want me to stay here? It's okay. It's okay to ask that. So.
All right, what's the next one?
Check in with your partner regularly. I actually like this one. When I first read that, I was like, okay, brother. Oh, check in. I'm checking in. But...
Oh, we do this, though.
I know. I actually like this a lot. It says when you're going through hard times, you definitely need to check in regularly. But I like when it says just when things are going along and going smooth, have bi-weekly... It says schedule it.
Schedule it.
Put it on the calendar. Date night.
Okay,
date night. Scheduling date night. And on those date nights, you can spend 15 minutes, you know, checking in with each other. Hey, how's everything going? What, you know, anything that you need from me that I haven't given you this week? What, you know, and then you share what you just to share those things.
Okay. I like that. And we kind of do this automatically. We have this little thing that we do because I travel for work quite often. And when I travel, when I land somewhere, I text Paige. Landed in Chicago, landed in Washington, or whatever. That small little check-in lets her know I'm safe and I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
So I think the same if, and there were times working on my PhD where I was just slammed and I was just constantly in front of my computer writing, and you would text me and say, how you doing? without coming in
right.
And saying, all right, we need to have a talk right now, because I couldn't handle it
right
at that point.
Right.
So you both understood I needed space, yeah, but you were checking in with me saying just a little tiny thing that was big.
Right. And there were times where I said to you, I know how busy you are. I know you've got a lot on your plate, but I need you from 6 to 7, right? We talked about that. And
yeah.
I said, I need you to put everything away for an hour for dinner, you know, and be present. And you did. And you said, okay. And I just needed to tell you that. And then you were like, okay.
I just had to wake up at 3 o'clock the next morning.
That's right. Good job, honey.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got my white hair.
That's me being supportive. Yeah. All you have to do, honey, is get up at 3 a.m. instead of 4.
You can do that. You can do that another time. All right. The next one. This one's interesting. Showing your partner physical affection.
Now, once again, I think this, you have to know your spouse, because not everybody likes physical affection. Not everybody likes the hugging and the snuggling, right? Not everyone likes that. But if they do, make sure you are doing that. I think it is so important. You and I both know that is really important. to be affectionate. And this isn't just talking about sexual intimacy, even though that is vital importance as well. And we've talked about this before on our podcast. Schedule it. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, but it's not spontaneous. Doesn't matter. Schedule it. We do almost every day, yeah. Seriously. So, but hugging, holding hands, cuddling.
It says, dancing in the kitchen.
Yes. I love what it says in here. It says that it offers reassurance and comfort and can also help with lowering stress levels.
Oh, absolutely.
So I love that. And I think that this is one thing that we're good at. I do. We used to always sit on the couch together to watch a show. We don't do that so much anymore. It's like you're on one couch, I'm on another.
Why are you sitting on the other couch?
Why are you sitting on the other couch?
Well, I sit down first.
I sit down first.
I know. All right, that's something we got to work on.
We got to work on sitting next to each other.
We need new couches, though.
Oh my gosh, they are terrible. But that's maybe that could be another podcast. Why do Paige and Darren keep buying terrible furniture?
I'm not going to comment at all.
What?
I am not.
This is definitely going to be an episode.
Oh no!
This is definitely going to be an episode.
No, let's talk about the next one because yeah, there is a whole half hour discussion right there on furniture. Pay attention to your own needs. Okay, this sounds a little selfish.
Well, I think that this is when you have to make sure you have boundaries. Kind of like you never need your space. So if you weren't paying attention to when I need space, that, right?
Well,
so,
would it freak you out if I said I needed space sometime? I think it would freak you out.
It would freak me out, but I would be like, okay. But I'm just saying if maybe we were in a situation where you were never giving me space because you didn't need space, it's okay for me to say, hey,
I need
some space.
That makes sense.
Right? So pay attention so that, because that can build up resentment.
Yep.
It can totally build up resentment if you are not, you know, meeting
but
your own.
There's a danger here too that you're just pushing your spouse away.
I agree.
And that happens. I know that happens, right? Because I've gone through a mental health crisis and you have too.
Yeah.
And there's times when you say, just leave me alone. And your spouse has to understand, is this the right time to leave them alone? Or is this the time to pull them out of bed, get them dressed, and get them outside doing something active?
Yeah.
That's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one. It's a tricky one. So hopefully if you're paying attention to your own needs, you can say, like, I think now I could be like, hey, today's a day. I haven't had a bad episode in a really long time. Yeah. But I think that, in fact, I missed my February blues.
I know.
Wow.
I know, I planned it.
You planned for me not to have the February blues?
Yes,
good
I
job.
I know, I did a good job this year.
You made the sun come out more in February.
I made the sun come out more in February.
I love it. You know that I need sun.
Yeah, I kept you busy. Were you ever home in February? No.
No, I was ever home in February. Good job, honey.
Yeah, I figured it out.
That's awesome. But yeah, like I think now I can say like, you know what? Today is a day that I need to just be in my sweats all day and leave me alone. Right?
Yeah. Well, and I think this goes hand in hand with knowing your spouse and communicating what your needs are to your spouse, not in the time of crisis, but beforehand,
yes.
Right? So that your spouse can recognize what that looks like, deal with it when it happens, and say, all right, now I know she needs her space.
Right.
Now I know, you know, he needs my support, even though he's saying, leave me alone. He really needs my support, whatever the case may be. You've got to have a nice, strong, open communication relationship. Yeah.
And I like how it says in here, there are going to be probably most of your marriage, one person is going to need
more support
than the other, right? Like it's,
yeah.
I mean, if it gets to be years that you're only going one way, you need to sit down and really take a look at your relationship and go, okay, I've been supporting you for 3 years-ish.
8-10 years-ish.
And, you know, I might need some support back, right? That's when a therapist can come into play and you say, you know what? Hey, we need to talk about this because I'm not feeling your support, but I feel like I'm giving you support. So know when it's time to go see a professional.
Go get some help.
Absolutely. Okay, our lemonade moment of the week is from Darren. What you got?
Well, it happens to coincide with our last podcast, which was Plain Etiquette.
Okay.
I was traveling at the time, and you sent me, we're going to talk about plain etiquette. And I'm going, oh, crud. Because everything on that list I did wrong on the flight before. I was rude. I wasn't rude.
You're not rude.
I just put my headphones on and just closed my eyes because I didn't want to talk to anyone. And everything that you brought up on the podcast, I saw.
You saw on the plane.
On the plane, especially on my way home, because I was hypersensitive to it now because I was looking at everything. And I did better coming home. Okay. I actually talked to the person next to me and said, yo, how you doing? I'm good. All right. Headphones okay. on. Hey, we're so. Good.
That's all we need to know about each other.
That was a good step forward.
Good job, honey.
I tried. Right.
Good job.
And I was sitting between two guys that were friends. But you know what? It was fine. It didn't cause any problems. But you should listen to our last episode on plain etiquette. It's pretty darn funny. And so the lemonade from it was I learned. I grew. I became a better traveler because of it.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, honey.
If you like today's episode,
give us 5 stars on iTunes, Spotify, Google.
And head to Facebook and like us.
And check out our blog at whereslemonade.org.
Where you can leave questions and comments.
But most of all,
go out and make some lemonade.
You betcha, baby. Yeah.